fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You see, I don't need a man to keep me accountable. Yeah. Amen. If I have the fear of the Lord in my heart, that keeps me accountable before God. Amen. And then my example will be correct before man. Amen. I'm right before God, then I'll be right before man. Hallelujah. Otherwise, we start putting our trust in a brother and sister to keep us straight. And only God can do that. Come on, somebody. Think about it. Hallelujah. Am I my brother's keeper? I am, in the sense that I'm to be an example to you. Amen. I'm to come alongside you. And any gift that God has invested in me, it's not just for me. Amen. It's for somebody else. So we minister to one another. But our accountability, our major accountability, is before the Lord. Amen. And if we have the fear of the Lord and we keep things straight between, you know, ourselves and the Lord, then I don't have to have somebody tell me, hey, brother, you shouldn't be doing that, because the Holy Spirit will deal with me. Amen. And I know if I'm out of line, because I'm close to Jesus. As a matter of fact, the closer you get to God, the more that you will reverence Him, the more that you will honor Him, the more that you will respect Him and take Him seriously. Amen. Hallelujah. The farther you drift away from God, the more worldly you become, the less discernment you have. The things that used to make you blush doesn't anymore. Come on, somebody. When we're close to God, amen, the fear of the Lord, the presence of God Himself will keep us. We need to stay close. We need to navigate carefully in the Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher talk about this one time. I think it was Bill Johnson. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Kind of like walking with God is like having a parakeet or something on your shoulder. And you know, and you're walking around, you got to be conscious, amen. And God's not a parakeet, by the way. Oh, no. But, you know, in the sense that we need to be very conscious of His presence. Whether if you're walking out a door, you're walking down steps or going upstairs, whatever you're doing, you're constantly aware of His presence. And for His voice, listening for His voice, carefully navigating. Because if we don't pay attention to the voice of God, we will end up lost. Because He is the shepherd of the flock. And so each one of us, as likened to sheep, need to be paying attention to where the shepherd is, what he's doing, what he's telling us to do, what he's telling us to speak. We've got to be navigating through this life carefully with the Spirit of the Lord. Or we will end up off track. We'll end up getting lost. And then we have to try to find our way back. How many have had that happen, and it's not that easy? You have to rediscover what you lost. It's not that He ever left you. It's like we left Him. And now we need to rediscover, you know, the ark had rested. The people rested. The clouds stopped. Amen. They stopped navigating. God moved out. Amen. Well, they had to move with God. If it was a month, whether it was a day, if God settled for a day, you settled for a day. If God says move tomorrow, we move tomorrow with God. Otherwise, we're going to get left behind. And the presence of the Lord could have moved somewhere else. God is doing something else. And we're still stuck in a place of familiarity. We got satisfied settling in a place where God is no longer there. Do you understand? There's a lot of people who are in a place right now in their lives where they have settled in a place that where God is not. And that's become their norm. They think it's normal to be lukewarm. It's normal to be passive. Come on. Because somewhere along the line, God moved and they didn't. God spoke and we weren't listening. God is saying, I want you to go here and I want you to do that. We said, well, not right now, God. I've got other things to do first. We need to be very careful, because His presence is everything to us. We need to be careful not amen, to try to navigate this thing on our own and disregard the promptings of the Holy Spirit, who is here to help us, to guide us. And wherever He is, that's where we're supposed to be. Wherever He is, there is life. There is life in obedience to His voice. But there's nothing but desert and dryness and lack of provision where He's not. And if the children of Israel did not move with the presence, they would have died in the wilderness. And for some of them, that's exactly what happened. God sent us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to lead us into all truth, to come alongside us, to comfort us as well. It's another one of His names. But He would also reveal to us the future. He will show us things to come prophetically. We need to stay close to God.
Amen.
Yeah. And see, some people have never even known what that's like, because you got to get through the first stage, and the first stage is the cross. Unless you're willing to repent, you're going to perish anyways. Repentance means the Lord is going this way and I'm going the other way. When I'm turned around, I'm going with Him now.
Amen.
I used to follow my own heart. Now I'm following His.
Yeah.
I used to have my own agenda, but no longer. I now pick up my cross and follow Him. Amen. I'm following His agenda. And in that place, there is life and there is peace. And God wants His children to experience His provision, His protection, His guidance. God brought Israel into the wilderness to teach them that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not just some words, but every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. That means whenever the Lord was speaking, they were supposed to be listening. They were supposed to learn how to do that. My sheep, Jesus said, what? Hear my voice. I've used this illustration before, but sometimes our life can be like sitting in a rowboat. You know, some of us have gone fishing before. You've ever been on a boat? Maybe you weren't even fishing, but maybe you just kind of got mesmerized by the scenery or something going on, or maybe you drifted in your mind and you were somewhere else for a little while, and you may even have your line in the water, but you look up and you say, how did I get here? And you want to go back to where it was good, amen, where the fishing was good, and you got to get back, and you got to row your way back to get to where you should be. And so, make it easy on yourself. Just die to yourself daily. Give up the struggle, the fight, the rebellion. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
Don't make it about you anymore. God is good, but God is gracious. And so if you've drifted away, you need to make your way back. Amen? You need an adjustment, a recalibration of your life. Get back to where you once were, to where you once belonged. Get back. I know where you're going with that. I think they didn't realize how much they were prophesying in them songs, and maybe the Beatles, right? To where you belong. There's another song that came out, I don't know, back in the late 80s, I think it was, called The Old Landmark. It says, Lord, take me back. Take me back to that old landmark where I make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Help me find my direction and put a burden in my heart. Your heart, your burden. Lord, take me back. I'm not going to talk about it today, but folks, I want you to know something, that you need to guard that anointing in your life very carefully.
Amen.
Oh God, where can we go but to You? You're our hope. You're our source. In You we are complete. As Your disciples said, Lord, years ago, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Lord, we want to be with You. dwelling daily in your presence, surrounded by your glory. Hallelujah. Take us where you are, Lord. Because I want to be with you. Oh my God, you are my strength and my song. And when I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. For the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Some of you dealing with fear today, recalibrate. Get back. Get close to Him who is perfect love. And there's no fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed to the devil. And He's given us the same responsibility today to be His ambassadors, His representatives. And Jesus told us to take His yoke upon us in Matthew 11 and 29. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If we're under the yoke of man, it can be pretty harsh. It can be impossible. Sometimes we've even allowed ourselves to come under yokes that basically we put on ourselves, or maybe somebody else put on us. That means that there was stuff placed upon you, responsibility or an expectation placed upon us that was bigger than us and impossible for us to ever overcome or to accomplish. So Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When we are partnering with God, and that's what we're called to do, is to partner with God, then we have His strength. We have His ability. He becomes our confidence. And the struggle of performance is over, because no longer do I have to try to prove myself to anybody or to man. I just need to accept the fact that God first loved me and God accepts me. And in that, my confidence rests, because if my confidence is in my own ability to be faithful, I will be sorely disappointed. But if my confidence is in His faithfulness, then I will find myself living a faithful life. Why? Because His grace, His ability is released in me. So God is constantly trying to remind us as His people that I just want you to walk with me, to dwell with me, to yoke up with me. And find your strength in me. And in that place of unity in the Spirit, of communion with God in the Spirit, there will be fruit. There will be good fruit. There will be love and joy and all the good things, you know, that we're all looking for in this world. Unfortunately, we don't find very much of. But we find it in Christ. Naturally, we can be loving. You can be a peace lover, naturally. You may even be a joyous person or a jolly person. You know, I know some people who are naturally, they laugh and boy, they just give out a big belly laugh in the whole room, you know, it like cuts through the whole room. Naturally, you could be joyful, loving, peaceful. But the peace we're talking about here is the peace that passes all understanding. And the joy we're talking about is that joy unspeakable. Amen. It's the greater joy of God, the higher joy. And the love we're talking about is that agape love of God, not the feeling of love, the eros love, that sometimes when we need to bring a gentle rebuke or correction to someone, the eros says, oh, but I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So we let them go. And even though we watch them, you know, head towards a ditch, the eros love says, oh, don't offend them, because they may get upset with you if you do. Why? Because the focus is self and not their soul. If I'm concerned about what people think about me, then I will try to please everybody. And in pleasing people, sometimes you're really not loving them because you're not going to help them when you're pleasing them when they need to be corrected. Come on. I need correction. And the more that I grow in the Lord, the more that I not always like it, but appreciate correction. And I receive it because it's God loving on me and revealing something about myself that I wasn't aware of. Right? It's God loving on us. The part of us that resists God's loving correction is that sinful part, or that old man doesn't want to be corrected. The soul gets offended by the word of God. The soul part of us. Jesus offended everybody in his life. Yeah. And he didn't say, you are the sugar of the earth. He said, you're the salt. And sometimes salt stings, but salt is necessary as a preservative. Amen? It adds flavor. But God has called us to partnership. I want to talk about maybe two things today, but the first thing I want to really focus on is that when we talk about our weakness, and when Paul talked about weakness, he was not saying that he was a weakling. He was saying that these things that have happened to me kept me humble. The difficulties, the persecutions, all the things that he experienced in life kept me humble so that I would be in a position to receive God's grace in my life. Because when we become proud, we don't believe that we need God's grace. So we need to be humbled before God so that we know that we require His grace in order to overcome. And so there's this thing called the theology of helplessness that says it was all God and not me. I had nothing to do with it. Actually, that's not true, because if it had nothing to do with you, then God wouldn't choose people to work through. Now, obviously, the glory belongs to God. Amen? And as long as we're humble, we can carry His anointing. But if we get proud, we can become like Saul. That God says, I can't trust Saul anymore because Saul won't obey me. He thinks he's bigger than that now. I started using Saul and now look what he does. He turns from me. He gets a big head. He gets proud. And folks, I have witnessed this in ministry. And I have to guard against the same thing. But many times in the church, God begins to use somebody and they get proud. They get a big head over it. And you know what happened to Saul? God had to take what he had and give it to David. Now, why did he give it to David? Because David was a man after his own heart. And he said that David will do all of my good pleasure. He'll do all of my will. So we need to maintain a walk of humility before the Lord. We need to walk carefully with God. We need to navigate by the word of God, listening for the voice of God and doing what He tells us to do. You see, because people will try to put their burden on you. Okay? Now, each of us has a different responsibility, a different focus, and that's all good. But I can't try to tell you, you should be preaching like I am. You know, because you're made differently. God's gifted you differently. What I need to say is you need to discover what God's will is for your life. Amen. And be faithful to God in that area of your life. Amen. When I started out in ministry, I thought everybody was supposed to see things exactly the way I did. And I was out trying to make everybody like me. And God says, no, you need to understand that I have a diversity in the body of Christ. According to your gift set, you're going to see things. Amen? And you can be an influence, you can be a blessing according to your gifting, but you have to be okay for who you are, and don't try to be anybody else, and don't try to make everybody like you. See, God authorized us already to declare His kingdom. He's authorized us already to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to disciple the nations. And there is a time when we need to be praying. And you know what? I don't think we're praying enough as a church corporately. I'm just going to put it out there. And I'm asking you to come to prayer meetings. Coming Wednesdays, we need to seek God together. We want to see revival hit this city. We want to see people saved. Amen. It's going to require a people coming together and calling heaven down. Amen. Hallelujah. That these demons are going to be dealt with. We need a breakthrough. We can't just have a few people trying to pray for everything else and everybody else. We need to all be praying. Amen. But there comes a time when we don't need to be praying, but we need to be moving. You know, there's a time to pray and there's a time to act. We need to know the difference. Because this theology of helplessness teaches people that God does it. And I don't have anything to do with it. So some people are waiting around for years and years for God to do something that He has equipped them to do. God is basically saying, I invested in you. What are you doing with what I already gave you? Why are you asking me to do what I told you to do in my name? As a representative of His, we are to do, amen, what He told us to do in His name. In other words, I'm going in His stead as a representative. Right? Sometimes, and folks, we've all done it, I've done it. And a lot of it is because we don't want to be proud. Somebody may compliment us. You may say, well, I had nothing to do with it. It was all God. You know, somebody can get up and sing a song terribly, right? And somebody will compliment them because they're just trying to make them feel good. And they'll say, oh, it wasn't me, it was God. Well, God would do a better job than that. No, it was you. Now, I'm not saying that God was completely absent, but, you know, we have to see there's going to be some clay, there's going to be some flesh in this thing too, right? So people are going to say to you, it's okay. You know, we're just partnering. We're partnering with God. And this is the liberty in Christ. See, I'm just partnering with Jesus. I don't have to change. I don't have to cut my hair or change my clothes or be somebody I'm not. Amen. I just need to be who I am together with Jesus. He wanted diversity. He wanted variety. Amen. And so I need to discover where my place is, how I fit, what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. And if I can encourage others to do what I feel others should be doing, great. But what we really need is to discover what God is asking us to do as individuals. And if we would all seek the heart of God together, amen, and as an individual and say, God, what can I do to make a difference? You know, if we're starting to get a word from God personally, when we come together corporately, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be amazing. Why? Because everybody has something to contribute. Now, the purpose of the fivefold ministries, according to Ephesians, is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers, right, is for the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. So one of my responsibilities is to equip you or to share with you what God has shared with me. Okay, so that you have some tools in your toolbox, amen, to use in your daily lives. Not so that in some cases the pastor does all the ministry, and that's not true of this church, I know that. But in some cases, that's the mindset, is everybody thinks, well, he's the minister, he does the ministering. No, actually, the minister is to equip. Yeah. Amen? So that y'all are doing what you're supposed to be doing in your individual lives. And then we come together corporately, we have a testimony. We have a praise report. We have a psalm. Amen? We have a word that we can share because we've been with God. You can't give anything you haven't received, and you're not going to receive unless you have that walk with Him. You're listening, if you will, to His voice. Okay. So, sometimes instead of obeying the Lord, we're asking God to fulfill the Great Commission. How many believe that we should be inviting people even to church? God, send the people to church. Well, God says, why don't you invite them? And that's a word for me too. I need to be mindful of this. But all of us, you know, if this is a good place, if the food is good, the wine is flowing freely, the new wine, man, we want to get people in here. Amen? And if we're reaching and touching people where they're at, and they can see that who we are, amen, rather than what they've heard we are. It's a lot of it. It is. There's a lot of fear out there. People are afraid to come in because they're thinking, well, this is what's going to happen. And maybe because they had a bad experience along the way. And who hasn't? I'm not even going to get started on that one. I've had all kinds of stuff happen in church. So, but you know, wherever you get people together, you're going to have some problems. God wants us to learn how to navigate and work through it. Amen. And love one another and come out on top. That means overcome it. Amen. Don't fall prey to it. Now, Moses argued with God when he was called. He said he was unqualified. He was unable to speak. Remember, in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And so the Lord said in verse 11, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say." Now likewise, the God's saying, Moses, don't talk about what you can't do. I wouldn't ask you to do something that I wouldn't equip you to do. If I'm telling you to go deliver my people, then you go in my name, and I'll be with you. Paul spoke of the difficulties as well that in his life, which drove him to the Lord for strength. And here in 2 Corinthians, verse 12, verse 7 through 10, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." What was God trying to do? God was trying to keep Paul in a place where he was user-friendly. He didn't want Paul to get a big head. And so sometimes you feel like, oh, the devil's beating up on me and nothing's going right and people are against me. And well, maybe God's just trying to get you over you and get you to a place where you're like, okay, Lord, here we go. We're going to do this together. There's a lot of times I just have to look to God and say, God, but what do you say? And people are perceiving me and saying this or thinking this is, I don't want to look at this as a God. Is there any truth to this? If there is, I'm going to repent. If there isn't, we're good. Amen. We're just going to go on to this thing together, but I'm not going to let it stop me. And so Paul said this messenger of Satan was actually sent. If you look at the mess of his life, people say, well, it was eyesight or could have been a number of things. But you look at his life and the difficulties that he had along the way. At any time, God could have stopped all that. See, God can stop the difficulties in your life instantaneously anytime he wants. Sometimes he does that, and other times you have to ride it out. Why? Because he wants to teach us to learn to lean on him and listen to his voice and humble ourselves. Because if we're proud, then we don't think we need to hear God. I'm good. I got this covered. So God has to humble us so that we come under in a place where we can receive his strength, and then we become what's called mighty in spirit. Because in verse 9 he says, "The Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly," Paul said, "I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I truly believe that Paul had grown to a place in his walk where he was no longer influenced by the opinions of men. Even when he was warned by well-meaning prophets, he would not be deterred from the will of God. Sometimes people want to prophesy something to you that they know you want to hear that would make you feel good, but it's not necessarily a good thing for you. Come on, somebody. And so he's talking about hardship. He's talking about persecution, insults even, for the sake of the gospel. Now, Paul was by no means a weakling. He wasn't a Casper milquetoast that went around and everybody spit on him and he was wearing some robe or something. No. He was a man that was mighty in spirit, mighty in character. He had to be in order to do what he was called to do. See, humility is not weakness, it's strength under control. It means I have been given some abilities by God, amen, but I have to submit those under His control. And then people will say, well, I had to speak this because God told me to speak it. Well, they might have spoken that at an inappropriate time. And the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So you can't just say, I couldn't help it, I had to speak it right then and there because God told me and I'm not going to disobey God. No, God doesn't work that way. He's a God of order. Everything has its time and its place. So, in other words, I may get a dream. God may show me something by vision, or God may drop a word in me. And I have to navigate carefully in the Spirit and say, Lord, when and where? Even how do I apply this? And so we learn how, because you grieve the Spirit when you step outside of the bounds that He sets for you. Why? Because God does everything perfectly, doesn't He? So we need to learn how to walk with Him who's perfect and lean on Him who's perfect. We're not, but He is. And so if we're going to listen to His voice, we're going to do okay. And sometimes in the process of learning His voice, we're going to make mistakes. But that's okay too, because you can learn from those. Amen? There's times in our lives, folks, where all we can do is pray and wait on God. There's nothing else we can do. Amen. You're in a situation. We just pray and wait on God and say, God, show me what to do. You know? But then there's other times when God's telling you it's time for you to move out. It's time for you to take some steps. It's time for you to obey my voice and do what I've told you to do already. Oh, God, slay the giant. What happened to David? God came upon David and said, now you go in my authority and together we're going to take this giant out. You see, many of them are probably in their foxholes there saying, God, kill the giant. Get rid of the giant. And David was a man after God's own heart. And you know he had received the word from God. He had confidence in God's word. And he knew that God had given him this giant, amen, that he was going to be in his hands. And so he simply obeyed the voice of God and he stepped out in faith, believing that God was going to back up what he said he would do. And guess what? The giant came down, amen. Amen. And so there's a time to pray, but there's a time to take action. Sometimes we're asking God to do for us, hear me, what He told us to do for ourselves. Oh, God, provide a job for me. God, provide a job for me. Well, did you go down to the job service center today? No, I'm waiting on God. Come on, somebody. Sometimes God, what God does, He gives you instruction. And sometimes you're going to wait for things. You're going to cast your bread upon the water. You don't know when it's going to come back. You just get out there, start beating the sidewalk, putting out your resumes, doing what you got to do. Amen. But in the meantime, you're saying, God, where and when and how? What do I do? Don't panic. Trust. God comes through to those who wait on Him. And whatever you do, don't start complaining. Don't let that other part of you start complaining, amen? You need to tell that part of you to shut up. And instead give thanks that God's going to take care of this too, because that's who He is. Because He's my Father. I thank You, Father, that You are with me, You're for me, and according to Your word, my God shall supply all of my needs. I feel that Rolls Royce coming down. No. He did say needs, right? Yeah, okay, not greeds. All right. Anyways, well, listen to what God instructed Moses to do in Exodus 14, in verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." This is when they were supposed to cross over, remember, into the land. In other words, you can go back and backpedal a little and go back to when Israel came out of Egypt, right? And they're up against the Red Sea. What does God tell them to do? He said, go forward, right? Go forward. Why are you crying out? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Why do you just sit around and pray and ask over and over again me to give you what I've already given you? I've already promised you a land that's flowing with milk and honey. So why are you asking me to give you something that I've already promised you? What you need to do is by faith you need to receive, amen, what I've given you. So, if you're praying for joy in your life, yeah, Lord, I need joy. You know? Lord, I need deliverance from this depression. How about saying something like this? Lord, thank you that I don't have depression. You've given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen? Lord, thank you that I'm not depressed, but instead, I have joy. You see, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you already have joy. You already have peace. You have what you have need of in Him. What we need to do is believe what God has promised us. And quit believing the evil report. Oh, the giants are in the land. That giant of depression. That's illegal for a child of God. We need to take authority. I'm not saying we won't have moments of this and we won't be assaulted with these things. What I'm saying is that God's joy is your strength. And God is greater than the devil. Amen? And we need to believe God for these things. We need to say, instead, I have a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm abiding in the vine. Love, joy, health, peace. He has made them mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory abiding in the vine. Abiding in Jesus. In Him I am complete. In Him I have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody, today. In Him you have righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. I have peace. I have joy. I have gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. I have all that He is because He dwells in me, and my source is not myself, it's in Christ alone. He is the foundation of my life. Everything comes out of Him. All the good things that we need are in Him. As long as I'm focusing on me, it's not going to be so, because I'm putting my confidence in self rather than in Him. It's what you believe. Jesus said it this way, according to your faith, let it be unto you. What do you believe? Do you believe that the boogeyman is greater than your God, you know? It's good to be poor in spirit. Matthew 5:3 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's good to be poor in spirit, hear me, but it's not good to be weak in spirit. We are not to be weak in spirit. There's a difference between being poor in spirit and being weak in spirit. The devil wants you to believe that you're weak in spirit. God will make you mighty in spirit as you cohabitate together with His Spirit. You grow in grace. Amen? And the character of Christ is formed in you. You become strong. You become steadfast. You become a person of integrity. Somebody that can be trusted. Somebody who is the same in private as you are in public. Because you're mighty in spirit. Because you're growing in the Christ. You are being developed by the Spirit of the Lord and the Word working together in your life. See, it's not good to be weak in spirit. That's not God's plan. God's plan is to have a mighty people. Just like David, who is a type of Christ, had his mighty men. His mighty men were with him. Huh. You see, God doesn't want, He doesn't need a weak church. He wants a strong church. So when we talk about being weak or being poor in spirit, we're saying that in myself, I know I don't have it. I don't possess it in me. It's not about me being confident in my ability to live for God. It's me realizing I can't do it in myself, and therefore I draw from Him. I worship God in spirit. I pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. I feed myself the Word of God, and I build up my inner man, my character. Amen. So that I become strong. I become mighty. I become unshakable. I'm no longer a servant. Amen. To fear or slave to fear. But I am a child of God, and I know that my faith is at high level. My love, my confidence is at high level in my God. Because I don't trust in myself. But I trust in His grace. What God is doing is He's renewing our minds. He's changing our thinking about stuff. Because we're in this world, in this earth suit, in this flesh we were born into. And all these mindsets and these thinking patterns and these strongholds of accepting things that the devil has told us, the evil report he gave, you know, rather than accepting what God has told us, His promises is what we're supposed to stand on. And according to your faith, what do you believe? Where is your focus? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Because in Ephesians 6:10, this is what Paul said. Remember, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you don't have a healthy prayer life, you will be a spiritual weakling. You may have all kinds of muscle. You may be strong physically. You may be a brash and an opinionated and a strong-willed person, but you're a spiritual weakling unless you have a prayer life. And the enemy knows that. And he'll just let you go on your merry old way thinking that you're okay, getting into self-confidence, and comparing yourself with other people and thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need to be in church. I don't need to be in the Word. I don't need to pray. I'm doing pretty good. He says, yeah, you're doing right. You're doing right on. Exactly what I want you to believe, because your confidence, as long as it's not in Him, in Christ, and it's in self, you are spiritually weak. See, the devil... He wants us to be spiritually weak. So He does everything He can. When it comes time for prayer meeting or time for you to, you know, God's calling you away. There's that other part of you that's kind of pulling you the other direction, saying, oh, I'd rather do this. I'd rather sleep. I'd rather watch that. I'd rather go here instead. Are you hearing me, somebody? And you've got to get to the place where your character, your spirit man is built up to where you just know what you're supposed to do. You're close to God. You hear His voice. You take Him seriously. And you start to obey what He's telling you to do. And your flesh has to shut up. You see, you keep building up your spirit. Keep building up your character, amen? And God will make you mighty in spirit. And you'll find that all of a sudden the things that you thought were going to be a thing that would weary you or be a piece of work for you to do, are now you're discovering it's a delight. I love to be with Jesus. I love to pray. I love to be with Him. I love to be with His people. Amen? I love to listen to the Word of God being preached because I need it. Because I realize that in myself, I don't have what it takes to overcome. And I need some equipping. I need some, amen, I need some manna from heaven. You see, some people think that, you know, somehow failing glorifies the Lord. You know, it's not, Paul wasn't talking about being a failure here. He was talking about, you know, being a man who had a heart for God, but was experiencing all kinds of opposition in his life. Anybody beside myself had a little opposition in your life? Why? Because the enemy wants to try to convince us, again, you know, that that you can't. God says you can. Who are we going to believe? It's no different than the addict who says, and God has set me free from a lot of stuff. He said, I can't. It's too much. It's too big. Well, if you believe it's too much and you believe it's too big, it will be. Because your confidence is in the strength of that sin rather than in the power of God. But my God is bigger than that. Our God isn't weak, right? So failure and unbelief never glorify the Lord. And we know that failure can be a stepping stone, amen, to get us to where we need to be. But it never glorifies God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith is believing God, isn't it? It means I believe His Word. And if He tells me to do something in His name, He's going to do it through me. If He gives me a promise, He's going to keep it. So what is it that God has called you to do? If He's calling you to pray, He's calling you to study, He's calling you to witness, He's calling you to reach out to somebody, then you do it because He's going to do it through you. Amen? If I really believe God, it will produce an action in my life. It's not enough to say, I believe God. Well, the devils believe God and tremble. But I trust the Lord, His Word, and I know that if He's telling me to do something, He's going to back me up in it. He's going to come through for me. And a lot of times God's going to tell you to do something that you know you can't do. Well, guess what? If God is speaking, God's going to do through you what you couldn't do for yourself. And other times God is telling you to do something, amen, that you can do. You just need to simply believe God that you can do it through Christ, who gives you strength. You see, the enemy wants a passive, weak, ineffective, lukewarm church. God wants an on fire, passionate church, amen, that is navigating and walking by the Spirit, amen, that are mighty in spirit, amen, that are going about like Jesus did, doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil. In other words, we can't destroy the works of the devil if we're yielding to him in our own lives. You've got to build up your spirit, man. You've got to grow. Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you used to find pleasure in something? Maybe it was even a hobby or something. Didn't necessarily mean it was a bad thing. But today you could care less about it. Yeah, yeah. I have discovered that there are many things in my life that I used to be really passionate about that I could care less about anymore. Why? Because God has shown me something superior to that. And it's a work of the cross in my life, eliminating those things, those weights and those hindrances and the things that I would spend myself on. Are you hearing me? That weren't necessarily a sin, but they were a distraction from what really mattered. And that is the will of God. Faith in God means I believe His word. And if He tells me to do something, He's going to do it. He's going to back it up. If He gives me a promise, He's going to keep it. Now, the disciples were trying to cast out a demon in Matthew chapter 17. And in verse 16, they brought this demon-possessed individual before the Lord, and they said, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. In Matthew 17 and verse 17, Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, what does prayer and fasting produce in us? Confidence in God. Why? Because you're getting close to God. And when you're close to Jesus, you have confidence to do anything. He emboldens you. Why is it when the church, the early church, is being persecuted, you said, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant that your servants may with all boldness speak your word. And where they were assembled, the place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they spoke the word of God boldly. God emboldens us. Amen. But we want it to be God emboldening us, right? And not just us in our own carnal nature. Trying to work for God is a difference between working for God and walking with God. Serving with God. Amen. Working together with God. This is called a partnership. We're in partnership with God. That's how it works. We're yoked together with Christ. Amen. With the Lord. So Jesus was upset with his disciples. He was upset with them, visibly. And they weren't. They didn't need to call Jesus. Jesus had already told them what to do. The problem was their lack of faith. In other words, somehow the devil had convinced them that they weren't able to do what God told them they could do. How many here have the Holy Spirit in you today? You're filled with the Holy Spirit today? Did you know that the demons are subject to you in Jesus' name? Yeah. But if they can convince you that somehow they're not, and you believe that, that's unbelief, and God doesn't move in unbelief. God believes in the confident assurance. Amen? He moves in the confident assurance that what He told us to do, we can do. What He promised us He would do, He would do. But what He's given us the authority already to do, and that is to go into all the nations, amen, and preach the gospel, then we can do all things through Christ. He's already authorized us, given us the authority. What we need is to build our faith, build up our spirit, man, be in prayer, be in the Bible, amen, and build up your character so that you're close to God, amen, and you have confidence in God so that when you are confronted with a situation, you're not going to be like the armies of Israel who were shaking in their armor at the sight of Goliath. David was a man after God's own heart. David had confidence in God. David had learned how to use his weapons, amen, even by killing the lion and the bear. So God was preparing David for such a time as that, and the day came. He had prepared himself. He had been built up sufficiently. He had confidence in his God. And when that giant appeared, David said, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? God emboldened him. It was God upon David. Amen. Working through David. Because he was mighty in spirit. We need to be building up ourselves in our most holy faith. Jude 20 says this, and I'm going to close. Build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you sense the Lord speaking to you today and saying, you know, you just need to get closer. You just need more of me. Hallelujah. Well, if the Lord has been speaking to you, again, we need to be very careful to follow His lead. We need to obey His voice. And when He's speaking, we need to say, "Yes, Lord." We need to humble ourselves. Don't be a Saul, be a David. Saul just obeyed the Lord when it was convenient. But David was a man after God's own heart, and David would do all of His will. I want to be a David. How about you? Father, we ask You to draw all of us in this room closer to You. Lord, we ask that You would build us. You would strengthen us. You would equip us. You would raise us up. You would use us mightily, Lord, to destroy the works of the devil, to proclaim Your kingdom, to declare Your word, and to reveal Your glory in this world, God. We pray Your kingdom to come and Your will to be done in every life in here this morning. Father, I pray that by Your Holy Spirit, You will stir up our hearts today, God. Lord, not just to hear a message and say that was great, but to say yes, God, to listen and obey what we've just heard, to practice it daily, God, to be about building up, Lord, our spirit man in You, being strengthened with all might in the inner man by Your Spirit. God, we pray that You would do this work in this church. God, we know that apart from You, we can't do anything. And we're nothing without You, God. But we ask You for grace. We ask You for strength. We ask You for ability. We ask You to fill us with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn in me. Burn in me. Burn in me. Let the fire of the Holy One burn in me.